I'm Matt Katz, and you're back with The Takeaway. 5 years ago, the Flint water crisis brought lead contamination into the national spotlight. But Flint is not the only place suffering from toxic drinking water, and the federal agency charged with protecting us from this may not be doing so. The Environmental Protection Agency is rushing to finalize a major regulation that could leave millions of Americans exposed to potentially hazardous levels of lead. Miguel del Toro, a retired EPA scientist, says the new proposed rule does not follow scientific recommendations.
Industry one. I mean, it's pretty clear when you look at what we were trying to do, where we were trying to go, and where we ended up in this proposal. It's pretty clear who the winners are, and it's not the people.
Here to tell us more about this is Lauren Rosenthal, an investigative reporter with APM Reports. She's the author of the recent investigation, Buried Lead, How the EPA Has Left Americans Exposed to Lead in Drinking Water. Lauren says the current EPA lead rule has been in effect for about 30 years now.
It came about after Congress banned the use of lead in plumbing going forward. We had realized lead was not something we really wanted in our environment. It could cause all kinds of health problems, and particularly it was dangerous for kids. Instead of asking utilities to take out the lead service lines that they'd installed to connect individual homes to the water supply in cities all over the country, kind of struck this compromise. So if the utilities kept tabs on the water they were supplying to homes, made sure it wasn't corrosive, made sure it wouldn't eat away at the lead pipes, they would be able to delay removing the pipes, essentially. So the rule says that utilities have to test periodically, push through chemical treatments that can kind of form a protective coating, and hopefully, you know, provide safe and stable water.
I feel like there's a but coming.
Yeah. And the but is, but these pipes are risky. Wherever they're located, there's always the chance that something could go wrong. If the treatment changes, if the water becomes corrosive, even if there's construction on the block where your home's located, there's the possibility that high concentrations of lead are going to bust loose and end up in your drinking water.
So in order to deal with that issue, the EPA was on track to update this regulation on lead.
Yeah, this was going to be the first big overhaul since the Flint crisis, and it's actually been in the works since before that. Our reporting shows that EPA started working on this in 2010 because it had become clear that there were some weaknesses in the testing. We talked to 17 employees, past and present, from EPA, and they told us that their research had shown that the testing that EPA had ordered utilities to do nationwide was systematically missing high levels of lead in these homes that are connected with lead service lines. This is about 9 million homes nationwide, mostly in the Midwest and the Northeast. EPA scientists recommended improvements to testing, tougher standards that would likely reveal higher levels of lead, would allow utilities to update their treatments, and would probably lead to pipes being replaced nationwide faster than they had been before.
And then what happened? So these rules were on the verge of going into effect?
EPA got recommendations from its scientists 8 years ago, but instead of moving ahead with them, there were concerns that they would be too costly. And EPA made the decision to hand off the question of these regulations to an advisory board. And our reporting showed there was heavy representation from people who work for water utilities.
Who was on the advisory panel that the EPA had commissioned to take a look at this?
So it was a mix of health activists, people who work for environmental groups, and then a lot of people who work for water utilities. And our reporting showed they had some help from an industry group to kind of get organized and put together an agenda. They suggested somewhat weaker testing, even than what we have now. And our reporting showed that ideally, they didn't want to have to test for lead in people's homes at all. In exchange, they offered to remove lead service lines nationwide, but there was a catch. They didn't want to have to pay for replacing the pipes on private property, so the piece of the line that connects into your home. And we know that that's a pretty dangerous proposition, because if you remove just part of the pipe and leave some of it in place, that can actually release more lead into the water. So not a great idea.
Who would be responsible for replacing that piece of lead pipe going into the home then? It would have to be removed, I guess. Would that then be on the property owner as opposed to the utility?
In most cities, yes. Most cities have set this up so that you are the owner of your home, your property, and this piece of pipe that connects into your home. But most people have no idea what their lead pipe is made of. Most cities don't have good records. These pipes in some cities were installed back in the 1800s. We just aren't sure where a lot of them are located.
What's the status of this proposed rule change now?
So right now, EPA is in the final stages of wrapping this up. They took the recommendations that they got from this advisory group, which had heavy representation from industry, like we talked about, and they directed their scientists to try to write a rule around that. The scientists we spoke with told us it was too big of an ask. There were real problems in the underlying research. There wasn't a clear justification for a lot of what utilities had asked for, and it just wasn't possible. So this effort that started during the Obama administration just kind of sat around. And when President Trump took office, EPA got the ball rolling again. And now they're pushing hard to get the rule finalized by the end of the year. So right now, EPA is sorting through 78,000 public comments. This is a really controversial and pretty important rule. And they're also waiting for feedback from their science advisory board. So this is a board of independent experts who are supposed to take a look at the research and tell us if this rule makes sense. So far, they found that it's really complicated. It doesn't necessarily make the public that much safer than what we have now. And they have questions about why EPA is recommending some of the changes that it put forward.
What's the status of lead testing now? During your investigation, what did you find out about how the EPA is testing lead now? And what do we actually know about how much lead is in our water?
In a lot of cities, we don't have a clear idea. I talked to a now retired EPA scientist named Miguel Del Toro, who is probably best known to people as like the whistleblower in Flint. He raised the alarm about that crisis within EPA. Del Toro did a study on the ground in Chicago almost a decade ago that showed that EPA's standard testing was missing a lot of lead, that lead levels in some homes were four times higher than what EPA's regular method showed. And that's a lot. Del Toro told me that in a lot of homes that have these lead pipes, we're not certain how much lead could be coming out of the tap. And if we rely on EPA's method that they have now, that they've had in place for 30 years, we likely won't have a clear answer. EPA, in the new rule that it's put forward, says it wants to keep the same tests we have now. Every year or couple of years, the water utility will send bottles to homeowners' houses, and they ask that you collect the first liter of water out of the tap when you get up in the morning or when you come home from work at night, when the water's been sitting in your plumbing for a couple of hours. Because the idea is to catch the worst case scenario, the water that has been exposed to the most lead. And the problem is, we now know that's not what we're getting. The first liter of water out of the tap just captures what's in your internal home plumbing. And the lead service line, which is really risky, is sometimes yards away out in the street between your front lawn and the water main.
Where was that testing that you were just speaking of? Where was that conducted?
Sure. It was in Chicago.
Because you had mentioned Flint, and Flint, Michigan obviously had this major lead crisis in its water. And last year, Michigan started doing its own testing. What did those results show?
Yeah, Michigan added just one extra sample, the fifth liter out of the tap. And that's not exact. That's meant to get you somewhat closer to this lead pipe, basically. We analyzed all of Michigan's testing data from the last year when they added this extra sample. And we found that the average lead level reported to the state more than doubled. The single extra sample of water that Michigan utilities are now collecting has 2.5 times more lead in it than the sample that EPA asks for. And the number of water systems that are now over the lead limit set by EPA has also doubled.
And what do we know about whether poor minority communities are more likely to have lead in their water?
Low-income families and minority families are more likely to be living in older housing stock. And lead was used as a plumbing material a long time ago. that means that these families are more likely to be living in homes with lead service lines. And that means they're at greater risk of being exposed to lead in their drinking water.
Regarding this proposed rule change, is there any chance that this could be stopped or challenged before it's finalized?
So EPA is supposed to respond to the comments it's gotten from the public. And it's also supposed to hear back from its science advisors who are looking at the research behind the rule, trying to figure out if it makes sense before this proposal becomes final. There's always the possibility that activists could sue. But so far, we haven't heard that that's on the table just yet.
Lauren Rosenthal is an investigative reporter with APM Reports. Lauren, thank you very much for your work and your investigation.
Thanks, Matt.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.